Chapter 9.
What's wrong?
A haggard woman with rough, bark-like skin and yellow eyes chuckled.
Did you truly think you were alone in the deep belly of the Redwood? Oh, how silly of you, little darlings.
Morgana?
Marina whispered as she took a step back and we formed a tight circle with our backs pressed against each other.
What the hell are these things? Are you deaf?
Vanessa spat before Morgana could respond.
I just told you. You said the name, but that doesn't help me much. Ligni cutis.
Morgana repeated in a raspy voice.
They take the form of trees, but they're hags who wear the skin of bark to protect the forest. Just another form of hybridus. Ya keep up, fish brains.
Akira huffed as she kept her wand aimed high and steady.
Let's just focus on killing these things, shall we? Wait a second. Did that little bitch just call us hags?
One of the hideous creatures cackled in a shrill voice.
I think we should teach her a lesson on manners, don't you?
Indeed.
Another bark-skinned woman croaked as her yellow eyes peered at the bookworm, and she pointed a long, black claw in her direction.
Sort this.
Before anyone could blink, a deep gash sliced across Morgana's throat, and we all gaped in horror as she wrapped her hands around her neck and dropped to her knees. Thick crimson blood seeped out from between her fingers and dripped down her neck, and her blue eyes widened with pain and surprise as she clutched onto her fresh wound.
Morgana!
Faye screamed before she turned her attention to the group of haggard women and narrowed her golden green eyes in anger.
Sicari!
A bright light hit the woman who attacked Morgana, and she howled like a fierce winter wind as her branch-like arm fell from her body and soaked the ground with blood.
No! What have you done? Heathens, Wicca, and holy spawn! Kill them all! Don't just stand there! Attack them! What in God's name are you waiting for?
Keep your spells simple!
I yelled as we aimed our wands in front of our eyes and shielded the bleeding Morgana with our bodies.
Yes, master!
My coven shouted before they commenced their attack. Blasts of light immediately spurted in all directions as we wildly attacked the gaunt, tree-like women with common but potent spells.
Volant!
Akira screamed as her incantation hit a furious-faced crone, sent her flying back into a tree and smashed her into bits of bark.
Glacio!
Penelope hollered as she froze another creature in place, and it shattered into 1,000 shards of icy bark.
Stupefaciunt!
I shouted before I hit another hag who raised her hand into the air and nearly cast another spell on us. The red, bark-like women all shrieked with surprise and terror as we continued to cast spell after spell on them.
Nicro!
Another hag shouted, and a sharp spurt of light went flying in Marina's direction, but Vesta quickly shoved her out of the way and was hit in the chest instead. The elvish witch groaned as she looked down at the gash in the middle of her chest, but her enraged silver eyes quickly flicked up, and she didn't waste any time to point her wand in her confused opponent's direction.
Illuminana!
Flames blasted from Vesta's wand and set the tree-like woman on fire, and in seconds the hag was burnt to a crisp while her companions gawked in horror.
That spell should have killed her! Why aren't they dying? We should leave!
Screamed a hag with one missing eye and branch-like fingers.
They're immortal! That's right, you ugly bitches!
Akira shrieked before she blasted another woman into splinters.
By the time we're done with you, you'll make some good fucking firewood for our feast!
The hideous women all cried out in terror as they struggled to run back into the woods, and we killed a few more as they retreated until there was nothing left but bloody wood scattered all around the crimson forest floor.
Well done.
Vanessa gasped as she twirled in a full circle to make sure nothing else was in our midst.
That wasn't the cleanest fight I've been involved in, but at least no one is dead. How are you, Miss Morgana?
Fine.
The brunette gurgled as dried blood coated her neck and the corners of her chapped lips.
Here.
Vanessa said in a surprisingly gentle tone.
You may not be dead, but your throat is still split right open. Take this.
We all watched as the dark-haired professor lowered herself down to her hem and carefully ripped a long piece of fabric from her gown. She then gently tied the dressing around Morgana's neck and smiled when she stepped back.
Not my best work. But not half bad, either. Your wound will heal soon.
Akira cooed as she brushed back Morgana's long brown hair.
But trust me, it's not a fun process, but it's better than being dead. Thank you.
Morgana rasped as she looked between Vanessa and Akira.
I appreciate it. I'll try and make an herbal paste for you.
Nyx suggested, as her indigo eyes studied the crouched brunette.
It'll make you see purple clouds for a minute or two, but the sensation will pass.
We chuckled as the bookish brunette nodded in agreement, and when she was standing upright, Vanessa took a deep breath and looked around.
Well, at least they didn't ruin our stew. Seems untouched to me. I'd better add the special ingredients to it, then.
Penelope sighed before she headed toward the small cauldron.
Let's pray nothing pops out at us again while I do, and I'll make the paste.
Nyx suggested as she stared at Morgana and then at Vanessa.
Don't worry. All I need is a little Grimroot. I won't be going anywhere. Excellent. Miss Morgana, you may rest while we get to work.
Vanessa ordered as her eyes fell on the dead rabbits.
Once we get some stew in you and you've had a bit of Nick's paste or whatever she called it, I'm sure you'll be feeling like yourself once again. Thank you, Professor.
Morgana croaked as her fingers traced along the velvet tie around her neck.
Don't worry about it.
Vanessa replied as she dismissively waved her hand through the air.
It's nothing, really.
It's something, I remarked as I stared deeply into the professor's pale blue eyes. I'm glad you're here with us.
Don't get sentimental with me now, Cole.
Vanessa scoffed as she walked away from the group.
You make me lose my appetite.
I chuckled to myself as the professor returned to the pot, and when she was out of earshot, the others all turned to look at me with a small smile.
She totally loves us. You can so tell. Yeah, but let's not rub it in her face, Hornhead.
Akira smirked as she gently nudged the sapphire-skinned witch in her ribs.
Come on, let's collect these dead bitches and use them for firewood. Oh, yes, let's.
Cersei nodded in agreement.
My bets their blood will add a sweet and salty kick to the stew. I said let's use them for firewood, but knock yourself out. Just please don't make it more blood than stew. I'll try, but no promises.
We fetched bits of bark and began to toss them into the pile of wood beneath the boiling stew, and I couldn't help but notice that each time I neared the cauldron, Vanessa would lift her eyes away from the brew and stare at me. There was no obvious menace or irritation behind her glare, and a part of me longed to seep into her mind and just take a peek at what she was thinking. The woman was certainly an enigma to us all. One moment she was bitching at us, hurling insult after insult, and then she would do something uncharacteristically kind, like dress Morgana's wound and urge her to rest. Perhaps Nyx was right. Maybe Vanessa did care for us more than she let on. As we all did our part, Vanessa, Cersei, and Penelope took care to craft the brew, and by the time it was finished, the smell of sweet meat mingled with vegetables and spices wafted through the cool forest air and overwhelmed the senses.
All right, hurry up. Let's eat before it gets cold. We still have plenty of walking to do.
We gathered in a circle around the pot, and Vanessa closed her eyes and began to mutter something under her breath. In seconds, a small wooden bowl and a spoon appeared in everyone's lap, and it took me a moment to lift my head and look at the professor.
What?
Vanessa snapped with a fierce glint in her eyes.
Do I really have to repeat myself again? Hurry up and eat! Remember, we're not only eating to fill our bellies, but we need to absorb Miss Penelope's concoction as well.
Each woman quickly and silently took turns to fill her bowl, but Cersei didn't hesitate to speak while enjoying her stew.
Professor,
the serpentine witch asked as she blew the steam away from her spoon.
May I ask how you conjure up items like that without using a great amount of power? I'd like to learn how to do it. I'm sure I was able to in my past life. I'm sure you were able to as well.
Vanessa grunted before she shoved her spoon into her mouth.
So?
Cersei pushed, clearly not getting Vanessa's obvious hint.
So what?
Vanessa sighed as she rolled her eyes and then glared at the blonde witch.
When will I be able to conjure up artifacts?
Cersei questioned with her bright serpentine eyes.
Which professor will teach us? No professor can teach you the art of summoning simple objects with your mind.
Vanessa muttered as she stared down at her thick stew. Only the headmistress can, I said, and when Vanessa's eyes met mine, I felt a sudden shiver course through my body.
That's right,
she said after a long moment, and we still hadn't broken eye contact.
It takes great skill and practice, but not so much power necessarily. You'll learn once the time is right. Well, I can't wait.
Cersei commented as her bright eyes landed on Vanessa's wolfish companion.
I can't wait for a familiar as well. I wonder what mine was in my previous life. Something talkative, I imagine. How are our familiars chosen, anyway?
Marina questioned with a raised purple eyebrow.
I'd love to master the art, but I haven't had a chance to conjure up one. And you won't until Professor Evanora believes you're ready. A familiar is one of the most complicated tricks of soul magic. A true familiar embodies all of your deepest traits and reflects your feral nature. They grow as you do, and if raised correctly, they will follow you to the death.
Well, she's not wrong,
Alexander said as he perched himself on my shoulder and stole a bite of rabbit from my stew.
Tasty.
Take as much as you want. I chuckled as he pecked down and snapped up another generous chunk.
Did Satan have a familiar?
The former siren asked before she took another bite of her food.
Oh, what is this? 666 questions. I'm sorry.
Marina mumbled as her eyes wandered around the group.
I'm still new to this world. I just want to know as much as possible.
I'd actually like to know as well, I offered before Marina flashed me a grateful smile.
Different books tell different stories. Some believe he carried a serpent round his neck, while others believed it to be a three-horned goat, but no one knows for certain. It still remains to be one of the most unanswered questions of all time. Why does Cole's familiar embody different animals?
Marina asked as we finished our meal.
From what I've seen, he's the only one with an animal that seems to reflect varied species. I do not know. There is plenty about Cole I cannot explain.
That makes two of us, I remarked as I studied the remnants in my bowl.
Does the headmistress have a familiar? I do not believe I've ever seen her with one. She does! But that isn't a discussion I'm delving into right now. Come on, let's clean this up and get to move on. I can already feel Penelope's potion taking effect over my body, and who knows how long it will last. We have plenty of more walking ahead of us before we reach the outskirts of the Redwood, and we'll need every ounce of extra energy Penelope has conjured up for us.
Yes, Professor, we responded. Vanessa snapped her fingers, and all the dishes disappeared at once, but the pile of burnt wood remained. We took a minute or two to toss the wood from the mound and make it seem like nothing was out of the ordinary, and once that was finished, Vanessa smoothed her skirts and pushed back her hair before she regarded each of us.
Let's go.
Without another word, we headed north and followed the pale sun that shone high above the scarlet trees. We walked for hours without saying a word to one another, and by the time the sun turned to blood orange, we were all exhausted and ready to take a break.
It looks like we've nearly reached the end of the woodland.
Faye panted as we marched through the blood-red forest.
Wait, how do you know that?
The trees are growing thinner. Trees tend to slim in size as you near the outskirts, plus I think Penelope's potion worked. I feel certain we're on the right path, and I've no doubt in my mind about it. Don't you?
Ugh.
The professor nodded as she stopped in her tracks and looked around.
I did feel a sense of certainty, but I wasn't sure if that was her potion or just my confidence. Anyway, we've gone far enough for one day. I can summon a few tents, and we can rest here for the night. By morning light, we'll reach the gates of the kingdom and proceed from there.
Does anyone hear that? I asked as I strained to listen to something off in the distance. It sounds like running water.
I hear it too.
Vesta purred, and her silver eyes sparkled with delight.
Oh, fresh water would be lovely right about now.
It's coming from the right, I said as I glanced over my shoulder. Come on, let's check it out.
I'll lead the way, Cole.
Vanessa marched past me and headed down a small hill.
Come on, stay behind me.
Like a row of ducklings.
Akira grunted as we followed the dark-haired professor downhill. But then I rushed in front of Vanessa, and she stopped in her tracks. How about I lead the way, Professor? I offered with a tight smile. I'd hate to see you trip over a root or rock with that dress of yours.
Fine.
She huffed before she placed her hands on her slender hips.
If you insist.
I flashed the beautiful professor a small grin before I walked past her and led the women carefully downward and toward the sound of rushing water. When I brushed past the red leaves and thorn-covered thicket, My jaw dropped at the sight before me. A narrow, crimson river rushed through the woodland, and when I narrowed my eyes at the body of water, I searched deep in my heart and in the darkness of my consciousness to detect if there were any threats lurking within its shallow depths.
It's safe, Cole.
The woman from my dreams purred inside my head.
Go ahead and take a deep sip. You will all need it.
It's fine, I said as I gestured for the women to approach. Drink as much as you need. The women didn't hesitate as they leapt toward the water and began to greedily drink as much as they could. I bent down beside Vanessa, and her eyes warily studied me as I began to cup my hands and splash water over my face.
You couldn't have refreshed yourself over there?
The professor asked in an icy tone as she pointed far down the river.
Why did you have to come near me? There's plenty of water for everyone.
I don't see the problem, I said as I began to drink the refreshing red water. If you're so repulsed by me, you're free to move. I won't stop you. Vanessa scoffed at my remark, but made no move to leave. She claimed to be annoyed by my close proximity, yet each time I took a sip of water, I could feel her eyes all over me. As I took a moment to breathe, I decided to unbutton my shirt, kick off my boots, and drop my trousers so I could dip myself in the still water. All the women stopped what they were doing as I dropped my briefs, and suddenly Vanessa stood on her feet and took a few clumsy steps back.
Excuse me, what the hell do you think you're doing?
I'm going to wash up. I shrugged. I thought that was pretty clear.
Well, not in my presence, you're not.
The professor growled before she glared at the other women.
Come on, ladies. We'll head back and make camp while your precious master cleans himself up. Oh, but we'd love to join our master.
Circe cooed as she reached up to undo her own dress.
Fuck no!
Vanessa retorted as she furiously shook her head.
I will have none of that in my presence. Come on now! I won't repeat myself. But master...
Circe pouted as her serpentine eyes found mine.
Do we have to listen to her?
Yeah, I agreed as I stared into Vanessa's angry eyes and quivering lips. She's still our professor, and we can respect her wishes. At least for tonight.
Very well.
The blonde Wicca responded with a disappointed sigh.
Enjoy yourself, master, but not too much.
Akira winked before Vanessa ushered them all away from the river. When I was alone, I plunged myself into the water and sighed with relief as I washed the day's journey off my body and took a moment to simply relax.
Go.
The dream woman's voice echoed through my thoughts.
You're not far from the kingdom, and now that you're alone, I think we should talk.
What's the matter? I asked as I brushed water out of my eyes and sank deeper into the river. Do you bear a warning?
I do. The kingdom you're about to enter is filled with madness and fury against your kind, more than any domain you've come across. I implore you to keep the women's rage in check. I also know where the first clue lies.
Where?
In the church. You will find a gold cross, and that cross will lead you to your next destination. I think it goes without saying to be careful once you see this object. One touch will burn the skin right off your bones.
I know. Thank you for telling me. Who knows how long we'd waste inside those walls without your guidance.
Of course, Cole. I would never abandon you. Now, I think you should return to your women and rest. You have a long day ahead of you tomorrow.
You're right, I said before I stepped out of the water. I promise I won't let you down.
You never do.
She murmured as her presence left my mind like a raven from the nest. When I was finished, I put on my underwear, trousers, and boots, and walked back up the hill as a gentle night breeze brushed against my bare chest. Small tents were spread all around the campsite in a circle when I returned, and when I peered inside each tent, three women were already deep asleep in their own confinements. Morgana, Akira, and Vesta slept in one, while Circe, Faye, and Penelope slumbered in another. Marina, Beatrix, and Nyx had their tent situated by Vanessa, who had her own tent. The familiars were all asleep in their usual love pile, and from a quick glance they looked like a giant pile of furs. Everyone was cuddled up together, and Alexander was perched on top of Sylvia and deep asleep in his raven body. The familiars had pranced and prowled all day, probably trying to get used to their temporary bodies, and now they were exhausted. As I looked around, I realized the professor was the only one awake, and when I peered inside her tent, she shot me a cold glare as she sharpened her blade with a smooth, silver stone. Vanessa's familiar, Isabel, had her head on the professor's lap, and when the smaller-sized canine creature glanced up at me and realized I wasn't any type of threat, she lowered her head and continued to sleep.
"Your bed is over there,"
she said as she pointed to a tent farther away from the others and next to a tree.
"You're welcome."
"Thanks," I chuckled as I rubbed the back of my head. "So, tomorrow we'll be looking for a church. That's where a unique cross is hidden, and said cross will lead us to the artifact."
"How do you know that?"
she asked as her eyes flicked up to meet mine. "I just do. The same way I knew to follow the sun for a day's walk."
"Fine. You'd better be right."
"I usually am," I replied with a cocksure grin. "Anyway, I'm going to bed. Have a great night."
"Thanks,"
she muttered as she continued to work on her blade. I pulled away from her tent, and when I slipped into my own warm confinements, I instantly fell into a deep sleep. When I awoke, my throat felt dry, and I noticed the sun was nearly up as I peered outside my tent. I yawned, crawled out of the tent, and slowly looked around. From what I could see, the women were still asleep, and I figured I'd let them rest for a few more minutes before we carried onward. Since I was feeling positively parched, I decided to quietly venture down to the Red River to drink a few fresh gulps of water. But as I wandered away from the tents and made my way downhill, I thought I could hear something, or someone, ahead of me. It was splashing around in the water, and as my stomach dropped and my senses went into overdrive, I slowly approached the sound, with my wand extended and my mind ready. But when I stepped past the thicket and saw the river, I slowly lowered my wand, and my mouth parted, slightly open. There, basking in the early morning light and bathing in the Red River, was Vanessa. She was completely naked, and her full breasts were shimmering with beads of crimson water. Her long, straight hair was plastered against her ivory skin, and the rest of her body was submerged under the dark-hued river. She had her head tilted back, and as she closed her eyes and relished in the water, I took a small step back and tried to quietly return to the campsite. But then I stepped on a twig, and the snap echoed loudly enough for Vanessa to gasp and open her pale blue eyes. When she saw me, a mixture of emotions passed across her face like a brewing storm. First, she seemed surprised, then embarrassed, and then finally enraged.
"Cole!"
she yelled as she covered her breasts with her arms, and her eyes trailed down my naked chest before she glared at me with all the venom she could muster.
"What the hell do you think you're doing?"
"I was just coming down for a drink of water," I said with my hands raised in defense. "I swear to Satan, I had no idea you were
here." "I don't care! Get away from me this very instant!"
"Sure. Apologies, Professor." As I turned away from the furious Vanessa, I couldn't help but break into a small grin. I might have been wrong, but I could have sworn I saw a glint of excitement in her eyes. I saw the way her gaze briefly studied my bare chest, and deep down, I knew it would only be a matter of time before she gave in to her desires, and I'd be ready to make her mine. When I returned to the tents, the other women were awake and doing their best to brush the knots out of their tangled hair. "Don't bother," I said as I glanced at the group. "The messier you look, the more convincing you'll appear."
"That's true, Master."
Vesta let out a long, drawn-out sigh before her silver eyes danced around the tents.
"Where is Professor Vanessa? Surely she's not still asleep."
No, she's... I started as I rubbed the back of my neck. "She's just washing up, and she'll be joining us momentarily, I'm sure." The women all exchanged small smiles with one another as they continued to get dressed. As they did so, I buttoned up my shirt, and by the time we were all ready, Vanessa came stomping back into camp, and her hair was drenched as she glared at each of us.
Let's get a move on.
She ordered before she snapped her fingers, and all the tents disappeared at once.
We're wasting precious morning light.
No one said a word when Isabel joined Vanessa as she marched north toward the rising sun, and we all silently followed after the professor. By the time we reached the redwood borders, we could see the Silver Kingdom just a few miles ahead, and the only thing standing in our way was a vast green field. Well, there it is, I sighed as I glanced at the women. Now, let's formulate a plan before we enter one of the deadliest kingdoms in existence, shall we?